John chapter 20. We'll read the first 9 verses. We will not get to all of them, or even some of them, this morning, and I'll explain all of that to you in just a minute. But John chapter 20 begins, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For, because, as yet, they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Can you imagine 3.5 years with Christ and him teaching them that he was going to go to Jerusalem, fall into the hands of the Jews and of the Gentiles, that they were going to mock him and scourge him and crucify him, and he would be buried, and after 3 days he would rise again. And he had told them that at least 3 or 4 times during the course of that ministry. He talked to them as some of the scriptures that I'm going to share with you this morning. And John records they did not yet know the scripture about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about those that are apostles. Sometimes a genuine child of God just doesn't understand some things and needs to be taught. Now, before we look at the events that take place in the first 9 verses of John 20, I want to look at the doctrine of the resurrection, because John does not mention it in this chapter. In fact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke say basically the same thing. Mary Magdalene comes early in the morning to the tomb, the sepulchre where Jesus is buried. The stone has been removed. An earthquake came. And despite all of that, she comes to the throne, to the sepulchre, and finds it empty already. And then runs back and tells Peter and John. And they all then run back and tell the others, while Mary stays there. And Jesus speaks to her first before anything else. But before any of that takes place, Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the 3rd morning of having been in that sepulchre. Most Christians focus their studies, their thoughts, their meditation, their worship upon the work that Jesus Christ did upon his cross at Calvary. The songs we sing in our worship usually point us to the cross of Christ and to the salvation that flows from the work that Jesus Christ did on that cross on our behalf. We sing a song called "At the Cross." "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." The whole of that first verse is about Christ on the cross. "Down at the cross" is another song we sing. "Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name." At Calvary, another song. we sing. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. Another song, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Those are all songs that are very familiar to us. All songs that we have sung in this assembly. And not in any of it is a mention of the resurrection. And yet, it is important that we understand that salvation is not complete without the resurrection. What Jesus Christ accomplished at that cross on that day when He said, "It is finished," and they laid Him in that tomb, had He not risen from the grave, salvation, your salvation, my salvation, was not complete. The gospel message is not complete until the resurrection is preached in connection with it. It is not enough to say that Jesus died on the cross and was buried. If we leave out the resurrection in the preaching of the gospel, we have not preached the gospel message in a biblical manner. We have no hope. We who are Christians in this room have no hope of spending eternity in heaven without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, Satan and sin and death and the grave all show that they have more power to overcome the Son of God. They have power to overcome the Son of God and to defeat Him in His efforts to save sinners. Sin, Satan, death, the grave, locked in that tomb for 3 days without the resurrection. All of these are more powerful than the Son of God. Without the resurrection, all the efforts of the Lord Jesus Christ to save His people from their sin come to nothing. Without the resurrection, the life and the death of Jesus Christ reveals God's inability to accomplish the fullness of His will in saving sinners from their sins. You see, brethren, how critical this doctrine is. How important it is to my salvation and to yours. Without the resurrection, the whole testimony of the Scripture is made void. If God said something must come to place, and it does not come to place, then you can question the whole of the Word of God. Whatever God has said from Genesis 1:1 to the book of Revelation, if something does not come to pass, then it raises a big question mark. Is God a liar because He said this and it did not come to pass? This is true regarding the revelation, the resurrection. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10 in the Old Testament, written nearly 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came to Calvary's cross. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope. For, because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption." This is a messianic psalm. It is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though the writer of Psalm 16 no doubt thinks about himself being laid in the grave and God raising him up, this is pointing to Jesus Christ. And it's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. God will not allow His flesh to see corruption. I've dealt with that in the last couple of Sundays. He would be raised from the grave. This is the promise of God made 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was raised in that, or placed in that tomb. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus Christ speaking concerning what was going to happen to him when he went to Jerusalem, how he was going to die and he was going to be buried, and speaking of the only sign that God was going to give to the Jewish nation concerning what salvation is, who Jesus Christ was. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Scientists and people say that cannot be true. It cannot happen. It was not true that a whale swallowed Jonah. Their throats could not handle that. Give me a break, will you? God can do whatever He wants to do. Stop trying to figure things out with your puny little mind. God said a whale swallowed Jonah. That's what happened. What happened on the third day after 3 days and 3 nights? What did that whale do? Spit Jonah back out on the shores of Nineveh. Well, that can't happen, Brother Pat. Well, it did happen. And our Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, confirmed that it happened in Matthew 12 in verse 40. He says, in the same way Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in that whale, is the same thing's going to happen to the Son of God. I'm going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the ground, in the heart of the earth. In John chapter 2, he had previously, in the early days of his ministry, in John chapter 2, verses 19 and following, he was talking to the Jews about the temple. And Jesus answered and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." John 2, 19. And the Jews, thinking like the Jews always thought, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Like Nicodemus, when Jesus said, "You must be born again," how can I get back in my mother's womb? They can't think in spiritual terms. The Scripture says, He spake of the temple of His body. And then in verse 22, "When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered." Remember that verse 9 in John 20? They had not yet come in understanding to other Scriptures. In John 2, the Bible says, after the resurrection, His disciples remembered. Oh yeah, He told us. He said this unto us. And they believed the Scriptures and the Word which Jesus had said. Throughout His earthly ministry, from the beginning, in the middle, and to the end of His earthly ministry, Jesus Christ told them, "I'm going to die, they're going to bury me, and I'm going to rise from the grave." But without the resurrection, all of the Word of God becomes void. If He is still in the grave this morning, stuck away in a tomb in outside the city limits of Jerusalem, in the Middle East this morning, all of the Scriptures become void. But if He rose from the grave, every word of God is sure, is amen and amen. Without the resurrection, the whole Godhead is made into liars. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Godhead, were involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All have, the Scriptures say, were involved with what He had done. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, if you're taking notes, says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Romans 6 and verse 4. The Father was involved in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, I've made reference to it several times in preaching through this gospel. John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus Christ Himself said that He was involved in raising Himself. He says in John 10, verse 18, "No man taketh it from Me," talking about His life, "but I lay it down Myself. No one will take My life. I will lay it down Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of My Father. I have the authority from heaven to lay down My life and die at the very moment when everything has been accomplished for the salvation of sinners. And 3 days and three nights later, I have the power to raise it back up again. I have that authority." And He did so. Raised by the Father, raised by the Son of God, raised Himself. And then the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," listen to the Scriptures, "if the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then what's going to happen with you? Right? "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, bring alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Now He dwells in us. What's going to happen to us? We're going to be raised from the dead also. All three persons of the Godhead involved in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God can't do anything except that all three persons are involved. And so without the resurrection, then all three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are made out to be liars because they said they were involved in His resurrection. The next point is, without the resurrection, the apostles are made into liars. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preaching to the Jews and to the nations who have gathered in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and following. Acts 22 through 24, Peter says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was impossible that He should be holden of it." It was impossible that death should lay hold on Jesus Christ and hold Him in that grave. You know what happens to us when we die? Death holds us in the ground. We do not have the power to raise ourselves up. Our priest or preacher does not have the power to stand there and raise us back up. The weeping, the tears of a mother and a father of a child does not have the power to raise that one up. Death has laid hold. Death has a grip, and it has a hold. There's only one who can release that hold, and that is God Himself. And the resurrection, when He calls our name, death releases its hold on us, and we are raised up to stand before God. But it was impossible that death should hold on to Him. Death laid hold of Him, but could not hold Him. 3 days, three nights later, He rose from the grave. Peter said that, the apostle. Peter also said in Acts chapter 3, preaching again to the Gentiles, to the Jews. In Acts chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, "But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." We saw it with our own eyes. And now we are testifying to it in our preaching. And it is being written down by Luke in the book of Acts. And in the whole of the New Testament record of the apostles will be record one event. Christ died. He was buried. And He rose from the grave 3 days later. Peter preaching to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. Preaching to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, says in Acts 10:39 and 40, "And we are witnesses of all these things, of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." We are witnesses of that. And then says in verse 40, "Him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly." Peter preached. Peter the Apostle preached about the resurrection. Paul the Apostle preached about the resurrection. In Acts chapter 13, in Paul's first missionary journey, as he is preaching to the Gentiles, he says in Acts chapter 13, verse 29 and 30, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him," speaking of Christ, "they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher," verse 30, "but God raised him from the dead." And then dropping down to verse 37, Acts 13 and verse 37, "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. His flesh did not corrupt. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Through the man who died on Calvary's cross and was buried and after 3 days rose from the grave. Through that man, through what he has accomplished for sinners, is preached on you the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins comes through Jesus Christ. It comes no other way. It cannot come through your church or your preacher or through the waters of baptism. It cannot come through there. It cannot come that way. It does not come that way. It comes one way only, and that's through Jesus Christ. You want to be forgiven of your sins? Go to Jesus Christ. He is not far from you. In fact, Paul speaks of Him being as close as the next word in your mind. Close to the next thought you have. Paul, preaching to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14 and 15, says, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is useless, is vain. It accomplishes nothing. If Christ is not risen, preaching the gospel accomplishes nothing. And your faith is vain." If your faith is useless, it's accomplished nothing. "Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God." Remember what I said? That without the resurrection, the apostles are made into liars. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 and 15. "We have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." Do you understand what Paul is saying there? We said God raised Him from the dead. And if God didn't do that, we're liars. And we're accusing God of doing something He didn't do. And your faith is useless if you believe our message. Without the resurrection, the apostles are all liars. Without the resurrection, the benefits of the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross cannot be bestowed upon you. Cannot be bestowed upon me if He is still in the grave this morning. You cannot be justified. You cannot be forgiven if He's still in the grave this morning. You cannot go to heaven. It is so critical, so important, that after 3 days and 3 nights and 3 days in that grave, that He rise from the grave. Listen to the Scriptures again. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans, chapter 4, verse 25. Paul says, who was delivered for our offenses. That's Calvary. And what? Was raised again for our justification. Was raised again with our justification in sight, in view. Raised with the view and purpose of justifying everyone that He has died for. Without the resurrection, you and I do not receive the righteousness of Christ by faith, and we cannot be declared in the courtroom of God as being just before God. It's over. It's finished. There's no justification without the resurrection of Christ. Without justification, you and I cannot stand before God. Justification is that declaration in the courtroom of God that there is no sin remaining in this person. That from the beginning to the end of his life, all of his sin, past, present, future, all of it has been removed. So that when he stands before God and the record book is open and the name is at the top of the page and there is a blank page there, there is nothing against him in heaven. Why? Because Christ has paid for his sins and removed them. How many, Brother Pat? How many have been removed? All of them. But Brother Pat, I've sinned since I believed in Christ. Yes. What about that, Brother Pat? All of them. Brother Pat, I'm afraid that when I get to the deathbed, that I might make a mistake. How many sins have been forgiven? All of them. Justification. I stand before God with no sin in His presence. Otherwise, even one sin, and I'm out. How many sins was it that Adam committed when God threw him out of the Garden of Eden? And Baptist preachers say, Jesus Christ died for all sins but one. Unbelief. And yet the Scripture says God looks at the Jews and the Gentiles and sees everyone in unbelief. If Jesus did not die for unbelief, you and I are going to hell. You and I are going to hell. How many sins did He die for? All of them. Justification. Without the resurrection, we cannot stand before God with our sins gone. And the slate clean. Without the resurrection, the Holy Spirit is not in this world. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Who's going to send Him? Jesus Christ. From where? From the Father. Even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. When the Comforters come, whom I will send. But look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 33, connected to the resurrection. In Peter's message, he says, therefore being at the right hand of God, Jesus being at the right hand of God exalted. How did He get to the right hand of God? He was in the tomb. 3 days and three nights in the tomb. How did He get up to heaven in the right hand of God? Well, there's a little thing called a resurrection that took place. Not so little. A massive thing called a resurrection that took place. And He ascended up to the right hand of God. And that the Scripture says, Peter's preaching, Acts 2:33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, by that, by the God's power in hand, exalting Him to heaven, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He, Jesus Christ, has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Everything that took place on the day of Pentecost in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Lord's church in Jerusalem came through Jesus Christ. Because God's right power, the hand of His right power, the power of his right hand rose him from the dead. Rose him up. Raised him up. The Holy Spirit is not in the world if there is no resurrection. There is no repentance and no faith bestowed upon sinners by God if there is no resurrection. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. The list is, this goes on. I'm going to keep preaching for a few more minutes. I'm not near finished with my list of things to say, but I want to finish quickly. There is no repentance and no faith bestowed upon sinners. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with a right hand, with his right hand, to be prince and a savior, for to this end, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ raised from the grave, exalted to heaven, for the purpose of granting repentance to sinners and forgiveness of sins. Faith is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. It comes from God. It comes down from God to us. The sinner that repents, repents because God has bestowed repentance upon him. The sinner that believes in Jesus Christ believes because God has given him a heart to believe. Without the resurrection, none of that. Without the resurrection, we are still in our sins. 1 Corinthians 15. I read 14 a while ago. Chapter 15, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. I did not read 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Without the resurrection, we are yet in our sins. Each one of us, every one of us. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel message. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, where he said, I declare unto you the gospel that I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand. And he says that I delivered, first of all, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And in verse 4, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel I preached. That's the gospel I preached. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9, he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the grave, thou shalt be saved. Believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Part of gospel believing. Believing is not just that Christ has died for our sins and paid for our sins, but when he died, he was buried and rose again. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. If you believe the Scriptures, you believe that. Without the resurrection, there is no second coming of Jesus Christ. How can there be a second coming of Jesus if he is still in the grave over there in Jerusalem someplace? In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the angel standing there with the apostles, Acts chapter 11, verse 1 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen go into heaven. He was raised from the grave, and he spent some time with his disciples on the earth, and then after 40 days, he took them up, and he ascended up into heaven, and they were watching him as he had disappeared into the clouds, and an angel of God says, not to worry, he's coming back the same way. But without the resurrection, he's not coming back. When Paul preached to the Thessalonians, to the church at Thessalonica, he closes out the first chapter of his epistle to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 with verses 9 and 10 and says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. You turn from your idols, you embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you wait for him. The word wait there, it has the idea of waiting and keeping on waiting and keeping on waiting. But Brother Pat, it's been 2,000 years and he still hasn't come back. Keep on waiting. Because it's going to happen. How do you know? Because God said it. But God said it. See, this is the issue, isn't it? Can we believe what God has said? And without the resurrection, there is no second coming of Jesus Christ. And may I submit to you quickly without giving you biblical evidence? Without the resurrection, our local church ordinances are a lie. When we baptize, we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. We say, buried with Him, dying with Him and buried with Him and raised in newness of life, just like Him. That's baptism. Based upon the resurrection. When we take the Lord's table and we eat that bread and take that cup, we do show forth the Lord's death. How long? Till He come. Till He come. Those are the last words of that. You do show forth the Lord's death till He come. That means that He's risen and ascended and coming back. And the Lord's table is a reminder that not only did He die, but He rose. And not only did He rise, but He's going to keep this ordinance in His churches until He comes back again. Hallelujah. What about the churches on the face of the earth, Brother Pat? Will they all die away someday? No. How can you say that? Because Jesus Christ said that the Lord's table would be observed in His churches until He came back. You believe the Scriptures? Our ordinances have no meaning without the resurrection. Oh, brother, the Scripture is full of things that just fall by the wayside if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave. And full of things that have rich meaning if, in fact, He did rise from the grave. Since, in fact, He rose from the grave. Now, you that are here without Christ, the testimony of Scripture is this, that He has died and paid for the sins of it of sinners. That He was buried and 3 days and three nights passed and He rose from that grave. And showed Himself publicly. And showed Himself to the church and publicly to others. And preached among those people. 500 people came up out of the grave and testified that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave. And the apostles testify that He rose from the grave. And the next generation and the next generation until 2021, there's a frail old preacher in Santa Ana, Texas saying Jesus Christ died for sinners and was buried and rose from the grave in order that He might save sinners from their sins. Come, dear one, to Christ. Come to Him. And child of God, what truths do we have to rest our weary souls on in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Let's pray together.